How are you guys doing? Happy Memorial Day weekend. It's good to be with you guys. I usually miss Memorial Day, that significance. I'm not from a very military strong family. My dear Grandpa Earl served in the Coast Guard, but that's the only family member that I know of who has served and passed away. So a lot of times I miss the significance of it. But I love history, and I love war movies, and one of my favorite shows of all time is Band of Brothers. A lot of you guys have probably seen it. And I think part of the power of it and why it had so much success is because they were able to capture just the story of this company of men, and they followed them throughout the whole World War II and their journey, and the heartache and the loss and the suffering, the emotion of it. Some of them would just check out emotionally. Some of them had to leave because they couldn't handle it. They had brothers die along the way, and it just has the intensity of the war and the battle, and throughout it all, you see these guys band together and become something greater than themselves. These ordinary guys, you see their brokenness. You see their hurt and their suffering becoming something great, and fighting for a cause that's much bigger than themselves. And that's what I get swept up into in those kind of things. And we're doing this Going Viral series, and it's very similar in a lot of ways, because it is about people, ordinary people, who are getting swept up into something much greater than themselves, way more epic than fighting a war, right? The cause of the gospel, seeing the gospel go out. And what does it look like for the gospel to spread, this greatest message of hope the world has ever seen, and how it's spreading rapidly. And so this morning, we're going to look at Acts chapter 10. We're kind of fast-forwarding a little bit. We're going to talk about God's viral plan and what God's viral plan involves for us. So before we do that, let me pray, and you can flip to Acts 10 while I do that. God, thanks for this morning, and thanks for the chance to just dive into this series some more. And I just confess that I don't always view some of these stories as epic, but God, we just pray that you would open our hearts and our eyes to the epicness of these men and women and their faith and what you did in their lives and what it means for us, Lord, even the epic adventure that we are on as we seek to follow you together as a family. Please bless this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, a really cool story we're going to look at, starting in Acts 10. It'll be on the screen too if you guys don't have a Bible. So we're going to dive right in. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. Okay, before we just skim over this, we need to know a few things about this. Caesarea was in Palestine, so this was, you know, the people of Israel around here, and Rome is throughout this land, and Caesarea is one of the places where they had companies of soldiers. And this guy, Cornelius, is a Roman, right? We learned that right from the beginning. He's a Roman. He's one of the army officers. But it's kind of unique for him because he was the devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. So right off the bat, we get who this guy is. He's a Roman, not a Jew, but yet he has a Jewish faith. He believes in God. He fears God. He gives to the poor. He prays regularly. So one afternoon, about 3:00, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. Okay? So he's going up to pray, and then he sees a vision of an angel, and he's terrified. And the angel basically says, Cornelius, you are a devout man. Send to Joppa for Simon Peter, who's staying at Simon, the other Simon, the tanner's house, and bring him here. So he does. Okay, we read on. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord, Peter declared, I have never eaten anything our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision was repeated 3 times, then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Okay? So we have a vision by this Roman guy in Caesarea, and then Peter, about the same time when the guys are on their way to get Peter, he has a vision. He goes up in his house at noon to pray, and he falls into a trance, right? He's hungry, which some of you guys may be like, oh yeah, I fall into a trance when I'm hungry. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about being hangry or being super hungry. He has this, like, he's a spiritual experience. The sheet comes down. Heaven opens up. Sheet comes down. And a voice says, get up, kill, and eat. And he says, no, Lord, no. Never in my life have I eaten anything unclean. And the voice says, don't call unclean what God has made clean. And this happens 2 more times, right? Peter, get up, kill, and eat. No, Lord, I have not. I have not done that. Don't call something unclean that God has made clean. And then there's a 3rd time, the same thing, right? And for Peter, if you guys know his story, you know his life, the number 3 has some significance to him, okay? Peter denies Jesus 3 times, if you guys remember that. Jesus predicts it, and then Peter denies him 3 times. And then later on, after Jesus rises from the dead, there's this powerful moment where Jesus interacts with Peter again, and 3 times he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. He gives him this charge, feed my sheep, 3 times. Okay? And then there's these 3 times of this vision happening. Oh, and by the way, he's in Joppa, which if you remember from an Old Testament Bible story, the prophet Jonah was sent to Nineveh. God said, go to Nineveh and preach to them. And Jonah says, nope, and he flees. He runs away to where? To Joppa. He's trying to go to Joppa. He gets thrown overboard over the ship because of the storm. They're like, get this guy off our boat. He goes in the sea. He gets swallowed by a whale and spends 3 days in a whale. Okay, so I don't know if Peter is remembering all this. He would know the story very well, though, being a Jew. So all these 3s have to be going through Peter's mind. And a lot of times in Jewish culture, 3 would be a number of emphasis. Like, this is emphatic. Get up, kill, eat. No, no, Lord. Don't call something unclean that God has made clean. Okay, 3 times. You guys get it. And this may not be a very direct connection, but what we see here is that God's viral plan is us. God's viral plan is us. Notice that the angel who appeared to Cornelius didn't share the gospel with Cornelius, right? He could have. He could have said, Cornelius, you are a devout man. That's great what you're doing, giving to the poor, praying regularly, but now there's Jesus too, so why don't you just believe in him, right? The angel could have done that. Doesn't that seem strange? He said, Cornelius, you're a devout man. Go get Peter. Go send for him and bring him here. This is nothing new, though, right? God's viral plan involves the individual, involves the follower of Jesus Christ. It involves us. If you guys remember Acts 1:8 from a couple weeks ago, it says this, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. This is Jesus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. Sometimes I wonder, what would it be like if Jesus had come now, right? During social media, with all the television and YouTube. Would people believe? He'd have tons of Facebook followers, right? But would he have, like, sincere followers? And I love that the gospel has been going out since from the beginning by individuals. It's the same charge for us. We are his witnesses. The same charge. It's personal. The Bible talks about how God has planned good works in advance for us to do if you're a follower of Jesus. There is stuff planned for us to do. And we are God's plan. This is it. This is God's plan of getting the gospel and reaching the world. It's us, followers of Jesus. All right, so Peter has this vision. Now let's read on. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit to him, three men, have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them. So Peter went down and said, I'm the man you are looking for. Why have you come? They said, we were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well-respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message. So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. Okay, so Peter goes down, he meets these guys, the Holy Spirit says, hey, three men are looking for you, go down and meet them. He says, okay, he goes down and meets them. Why have you come? Hey, Cornelius sent us. So he invites them into his house, they stay overnight, and then they go. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, stand up. I am a human being just like you. So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. Okay, so Peter arrives at this house, and I love this from Cornelius' standpoint. He has invited his household. He's got all these people together in anticipation. This has been a course of about 4 days for him to send those people out and for Peter to make it back. He has all these people gathered there. It's kind of like this anticipation of what is going to happen here. We had this vision, and then he doesn't know this, but Peter had this vision. They're like, what is going to happen next? So then Peter told him, you know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. Okay? So this guy meets Peter. He falls at his feet. Peter pulls him up. Don't worship me. He said, this is why I'm here. God's viral plan is us going. It involves us going. You know, at some point, we don't really know when, at some point, Peter realized something about that vision, right? The vision had all these animals, and it was about eating, and he realized at some point that it's more than that. He said, God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. He's realizing that there's a bigger picture that God is bringing him into here. There's a bigger picture. And yes, he hesitated. He said, no, Lord, 3 times, but he went. He went. He realized God is doing something here. I'm not really sure what, but God is doing something here, and I'm going to get on board with that. And he was there. Matthew 28, you guys can look it up on your own. The Great Commission, we talk about that a lot, where Jesus talks to his disciples, say, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations, go. Peter was a part of that. It's the same call for us, guys. Same charge given to us if we were a follower of Jesus Christ, is to go. And we don't know the details. They're not always laid out for us. We don't even know the why or what the results are going to be. Our call is just to go. Our call is to step out in faith, to engage with what God is doing. Do you guys sense that in your lives? Are you open to where God is taking you? Are you aware that there's a bigger picture going on? God is doing something. My call is to go, right? And this is how the gospel has been going viral for hundreds of years. Individual lives, individual people stepping out in faith and going. He says, why have you sent me? Why have you sent me, Cornelius? I'm here. Why have you sent me? So then Cornelius tells him, basically tells him about his vision and the angel and how he told him to send for Peter. Okay, and then this is great. Peter shares the gospel with Cornelius and everyone else that is there. It's beautiful. Verse 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the 3rd day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Okay? So Peter shares the gospel with them. And it's great because it's just like Pentecost in Acts 2. Peter gets up, this timid, broken guy who's been following Jesus and powerfully shares the gospel with people. And it's cool because we're reading the story because actually today is Pentecost Sunday. It's 50 days after Easter. And the story is kind of reminiscent of when Peter gets up and shares that, shares the powerful gospel with people. So he shares it with this household. And then this is what happens. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. All right? So these guys become believers. And it may not seem like much to us, especially if we're reading Acts, because we see this happen a lot, but to them it was monumental. It was huge. This is one of the first times the Jews realized that the gospel is for the Gentiles too. And they're like, wow, this is amazing. And Peter had brought some of the Jewish people with him. And they're there, and they're amazed. The Gentiles have received the Holy Spirit. They've become believers. This is huge. This is earth-shattering. And then I love it. He's like, can anyone object to us baptizing them? So let's baptize them. Apparently no one says, yes, I object. And they baptize them right then. And then Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. I love this picture. Shares the gospel. They believe, his household believes. They get baptized, and he's like, please stay, stay. Stay for several days. And then it goes viral. The news goes viral. We read on in chapter 11. Soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea that the Gentiles had received the word of God. Okay, so this is spreading throughout the countryside that the Gentiles have received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. "You entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them," they said. Okay, so you got to remember, these are Jewish believers. And there was a lot of wrestling with what of the Jewish law still applies for us. Some of it was from the Old Testament, like the animals that Peter saw in his vision. There were rules about what animals were clean and unclean. But some of it had just come from Jewish tradition and Jewish laws about entering Gentiles' homes and eating with them, with the unclean. And so these Jewish believers are criticizing him. You entered their house, you even ate with them, with these Gentiles, with these Romans. And then Peter told them exactly what happened. And he basically summarized. He said, look, I had this vision with the sheet that came down and these animals. I heard this voice, get up, kill, and eat. I said, no. It said, don't call something unclean that God has called clean. It's happened three times. So I went to Caesarea. And this is what he summarizes. As I began to speak, Peter continued, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, we can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. I love it. So they criticize him, like, Peter, you were eating with these guys. And he says, well, listen to what happened. The Holy Spirit fell on them. They received the Holy Spirit. They are believers as well. This is a gift that's not just for us, but it's for the Gentiles too. And they stop objecting. Other translations say they fell silent. I love that picture. They're like, oh. And then they worship. And it's like, yeah, it's awesome. They worship. They realize how amazing this is. The gospel is going out. God's viral plan is us going everywhere. This is God's plan for the gospel going viral. It's us going everywhere. And it's funny because these guys have already heard this in Acts 1:8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, so the area. It's like Columbus, Ohio, Samaria, it's like Michigan, and to the very ends of the earth. They already were told, look, you're going to be my witnesses everywhere, to all peoples. Go and make disciples of all nations, But this is this moment where they finally understand, they finally realize that the gospel's for the Gentiles. This religious barrier they had, this prejudice they had been broken through. God blew it up. Do you guys realize that we are a part of this bigger picture of the kingdom of God and the gospel going out? It involves us, it's for us, but it isn't about us. The gospel transcends prejudice and bias and preference. Now you guys might be thinking, well, I don't view anyone in my life as unclean. But we are not free from bias, are we? Or preferences, right? I live in a neighborhood with a lot of elderly, widowed ladies around, almost all the houses around. And so I've interacted with them. And I've noticed that I have a bias. I was like, I don't really know how to connect with a 90-year-old lady and be like, oh, just, you know, she probably needs the gospel. She probably needs to be loved on. But I don't really know. And I feel like, oh, it's just easy to stay in our house and wave, say hi, let her talk to me for a while. But that's it. Right? But we are called to go everywhere, regardless of our preferences or our biases. So we're called to go to your middle-aged coworker or your atheist friend or your someone who's proud or stubborn. Go to the poor and needy. Go to your family members. Go to people, right? I love Maggie Slice. She didn't really consider herself a people person. God got a hold of her life, and now she's investing in ministry full-time to reach people. Right? The gospel transcends any age, race, religion, gender, any income, any marital status barrier that we might have. And we don't need to fear any of these differences because God is with us, right? I love that Holy Spirit reminded Peter, you don't need to be afraid of these Gentiles. You can go because I am with you. God is with you. God is with us. And we are his plan for going viral, for the gospel going viral one life at a time. I'm going to play you guys a video this morning that I think really captures this. There is this couple who went to Papua New Guinea with New Tribes Mission. And it tells a little bit about their story. They're pretty simple. They're from like a Mennonite background. Life was very simple, and they felt like God was calling them to go overseas, to pick up their life and their family and go to Papua New Guinea, to an unreached, totally unreached people group. And so they spent several months learning the language. All the while, people were telling them, hey, you don't really fit the missionary bill. You're a little older in life. You might not learn the language. You might have health issues. You're taking your kids. But they really felt like God was leading them to go. So they spent time learning this language, and then they went over there, and the first several months were just getting to know the people, how they grow their food, what they do, learning their culture, practicing the language, and they started teaching them the Bible. And they started with the Old Testament, and it's really cool. I encourage you guys to try to find the whole video. It's like 20 minutes long. It's from the 90s, so the production is, you know, a little on the cheesy side, but it's so cool. They taught them the Old Testament, and they started out with the beginning. And they pointed out man's need for God, for a savior. And they went through Abraham and Isaac and some of the symbolism of the Old Testament of Jesus Christ coming. And they eventually got to Jesus Christ coming. And people were like, oh, this is awesome. I love this guy. He sounds amazing. And they were just all happy. And then talked about his betrayal and his death. And then they're visibly, like in the video, they're like shaking their head. They're like totally distraught. And then they get to this day where they share about how Jesus came back to life. And they shared the gospel with these guys after literally months of teaching them. And the whole village would come and listen to their talks. There was even a pregnant woman who gave birth a little ways off, but they set her up so she could hear the message. That's how they were enthralled with it, they were. But it's really cool. So I just have a couple minutes of the end of it, but the day, this guy's kind of introing it, he's referring to the day where they talk about Jesus and introduce him and talk about salvation. So you guys check this out.
Tremendous relief. The Mok are generally a restrained people, but as the gospel sunk in and new believers sensed the liberation from sin, spontaneous rejoicing broke out. Watch what happened.
Village believer stating that he too believes that Christ has paid for his sins. tau, which means it's true or it's good. It's very true. Village grammar rejoicing that he believes. So does she. Different ones giving testimony as to their belief in Christ as their sin bearer. Mark saying that if they really are believing, then God's word says that their sin is forgiven. Itau, it's good, it's true. Spontaneous rejoicing breaks out. This went on for 2.5 hours.
All right, you missed it, but they pick up Mark, the guy, and he's like, they're like crowd surfing him around. That's awesome. Every time I've seen that video, I get moved by it because there's something just epic about it, how these men and women understand the gospel in this genuine, sincere, first time hitting them way, and then they just celebrate. I don't know if you caught it. The guy introducing the video said they're a pretty reserved people, but they spontaneously erupted into celebration for 2.5 hours. And that's what the gospel does. Guys, that's what the gospel does when people go. That's what we can see God do, use us for. So I just want to ask you guys a couple questions here as we wrap up. Where has God sent you? Where has God sent you? Who in your life has God placed there for you to share the gospel with, share the message of hope with? Some of you may be sitting here and may think, oh, this is great, that all sounds good. Maybe you haven't put your faith in Christ yet. That's okay if you're wrestling with what you believe. Maybe you're more like Cornelius. You have a sincere desire to know God and to love God. We just invite you guys to consider putting your faith in Jesus Christ. It's the most amazing message in the world. God shows no favoritism, no matter what your circumstances or past or brokenness. If you are a follower of Jesus, where has he sent you? The family you're in, the job that you have, the classes you're in, relationships you have, friendships. Where has God sent you? Maybe some of you feel like God is calling you to go overseas. Maybe it's to figure out how to get the gospel out in your neighborhood. Where has he sent you? The second question is, are you on board with God's plan? Are you on board with God's plan? Peter had a lot of fear, didn't he? He's like, no, Lord, I don't know. I don't know about this. But he got on board. He went. He stepped out in faith. What is holding you guys back from really engaging with the bigger picture of the gospel going out and you being a part of it? God using you in people's lives. God using us as a community to take the gospel out. Let's pray. Lord, thanks again for this morning, and just thanks for the story, even though it's a little bizarre, these two guys and their vision and just how you are at work there in a powerful way. And just even, Lord, the very fact that salvation is for all. We just thank you so much for that, God. Thanks that you don't show favoritism. Lord, help us to walk in that truth and reality. Lord, I just pray even that you might give us insight into if we have any bias or prejudice in our own life or even preferences, God, help us to take bold steps of faith in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our communities. Thanks, God, that you've given us this amazing mission that we can be a part of, that you choose to use us in a powerful way. Even though we're just like Peter, we have issues and we're broken, and we're scared, you use us in a powerful way. Lord, I just pray that this church would be a church family that takes this gospel to the nations, Lord, that we would be individuals who are taking steps of faith on this great mission you've called us to. Jesus' name, amen.